This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Comebacks. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Deep in the desert of Israel, not much grows without a lot of effort. Far from the sandy beaches of the Mediterranean and the nightlife of Tel Aviv, the Negev makes up about half of Israel's land. It was part of the ancient spice route, where 2,000 years ago, the Nabataeans brought frankincense and myrrh from Egypt to Mediterranean ports. Along the way, they established irrigation systems, and they grew grapes. Today, farmers are engineering a comeback for those ancient vineyards. Susan Phillips reports.
Hello. How are you?
Shalom. Aaron Fate is an associate professor at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, and he's showing me around an experimental vineyard. The sun is blistering. There is no shade anywhere, and the hot wind blows in our faces.
Are you okay if we do a little walk? Yes? Okay.
Aaron says viticulture, the act of growing grapes for wine, began in this region thousands of years ago. Even though the area gets almost no rain, just about 4 inches a year.
The Nabataeans didn't have water and still were making a lot of wine here.
The Nabataeans were a nomadic tribe that lived in this area about 2,500 years ago. They built stone walls or terraces to capture what little rain did fall. So during downpours, the water got absorbed by the ground instead of bouncing off the tough, salty soil.
Now, another challenge of a desert environment, sunlight. Sunlight is a bad beast, indeed.
Aaron is originally from Italy, where wine is grown like this.
There is a main shoot and then the two branches of the vine. So the vine is kind of put like Jesus Christ, sort of, like this. It's crucified, totally crucified.
That way of growing grapes doesn't work in the Israeli desert.
Now, what is the problem here? This exposes the berries very much to sun radiation. In the morning, in the evening, you are always battered by the sun.
Which, he says, makes for some pretty bad wine.
The fruit becomes brown. Sunburns start to develop in both red and white varieties. You lose acidity, so you get these red wines that sit on your tongue like a stone. Not fun to drink them.
So instead, Aaron encourages farmers to grow the vines in a way that the leaves can create a canopy of sorts and shade the grapes from too much sun. We visit a farmer who works with Aaron.
We have here close to 24 hectares of vineyards.
His name is Eran Raz, but everyone calls him Nana. He owns Nana Estate Winery, and it's about a 10-minute drive from the Egyptian border. Nana's vineyard looks like a river of deep green that snakes through a valley of tan, brown, desolate earth.
The first year was quite tough because first when I came here, it was nothing here, just desert. No roads, no water system. I need to do everything by myself.
As Nana began to cultivate the land, he found history everywhere he looked, including the remnants of the ancient terraces built by the Nabataeans. And he learned from them. One day, a heavy rainfall replenished a dry stream bed known as a wadi.
And the rain fell very fast, and the water started to move very fast on the river. And I came one day after, and I saw that all the places that the terraces broke, okay, because it's built 2,000 years ago, and all these places, the soil moved with the water.
He watched as the water carried away the soil through the broken parts of the ancient terrace. Without those stone walls pulling the water, the rain bounced off the hard, dry soil.
So I understand how important it is to build again the terraces. So I built all the terraces here again.
Since then, he hasn't had any problems with runoff. But unlike the ancient Nabataeans, today, Nana can tap into a pipeline that brings desalinated seawater from a plant on the Mediterranean about 100 miles away. And that gives him a surprising advantage over traditional wineries. He gets so little rain that he has almost complete control over how much water his grapes get. During a wine tasting, Aaron Fett says that it's this water control that makes the wine here in Israel so good.
By the way, you are tasting now the best Shiraz I ever tasted, okay? Really. I mean, just close your eyes and taste the Shiraz. It really tastes differently.
Nana says he was drawn to grow grapes in this desolate environment because of its legacy.
It's got history. You can find in the Bible that people grow grapes and drink wine.
So, first wine, it's from 100%.
That story was reported by Susan Phillips.